just sit there facing the hill. Just say, who gonna take away his license to kill? Now he's helping for destruction. He's afraid and confused, and his brain has been mismanaged with great skill.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Bill Roggio, who is a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and the editor of their publication, The Long War Journal, which provides original reporting and analysis of the global war on terror. Coverage includes strategic and operational issues relating to the war in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Somalia, and Lebanon, as well as al-Qaeda's operations, tactics, and strategy. Welcome to Background Briefing, Bill Roggio. And your journal, The Long War Journal, is considered the Bible, if you will, on the drone program, how many strikes, et cetera, have taken place. What is your understanding of the fleet of drones? What are the numbers?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's well into the hundreds and could be in the thousands, depending on what types of drones you're talking about. As far as the armed drones, the commonly used Predators and the more deadly Reapers, which is just pretty much the younger brother that carries more missiles. They're in the hundreds for those drones, and they're operated both by the Air Force and by the CIA. And then you have a whole series of unmanned drones that are used to conduct either tactical or strategic level intelligence. So the U.S. Air Force, I believe right now, is in the next year, is going to be buying more unmanned than manned aircraft.
So I've heard figures that there are at least 350 operational in the AFPAC region. Would that gel with your understanding?
Yeah, that would. The number varies, and it's really difficult to know how many exactly the CIA is operating. The U.S. military operates... I know they operate hundreds in Afghanistan, but it's hard to know, again, how many of those are actually are the attack drones, the drones that are armed with Hellfires, and how many of those are just in a surveillance mode.
So according to your journal, the Long War Journal, Bill Roggio, of which you're the editor, there have been at least 322 U.S. drone strikes in Pakistan since January of 2008. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And what are the numbers for Yemen? Because that's obviously a lot of questions have come up today in the confirmation hearing of John Brennan, who was a former CIA station chief in Saudi Arabia. And he's essentially been directing, as the head of counterterrorism in the White House, been directing a lot of these drone strikes. And it seems that an awful lot have taken place in Yemen. And
over 50 strikes in Yemen. Since there was one strike back in 2002, it was actually the first armed drone strike that killed an al-Qaeda operative, as well as an American citizen that was with him. And then since 2009, the U.S. has conducted both, not just drone strikes, but they've conducted airstrikes and cruise missile strikes against al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. But over the last 2 years, those pretty much have morphed over to being drone strikes almost exclusively, and we had 42 of those recorded just last year.
And they operate out of Djibouti, the former French colony. I think it's currently a French colony as well, in terms of the base.
They operate from Djibouti. There's it's just been recently disclosed there's a drone base in southern Saudi Arabia. It's thought that some are actually maybe operating from within Yemen. And then there's been talk of a base in the country of Oman, which is next door to Yemen as well. So. Again, it's really difficult to know where the strikes are actually being launched and how much of this is real and how much of this information is disinformation.
Well, there have been reports recently about the Mali operation that the French are undergoing against what's called al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. And I was reading that the U.S. drone base in Djibouti is basically thousands of miles from Mali, and it's a long haul. And they're looking around for somewhere closer to place drones. Is that your understanding?
Yes. There's been a report that a base is going to be opened in Niger. And the The administration or the U.S. military and CIA have also been flying manned surveillance flights from bases in other African countries in the area, but they're really seeking to build that base in Niger to step up operations against Al-Qaeda and the Islamic Maghreb. Now they're talking these drones will just be surveillance. However, we've heard that before in other situations, and it winds up these drones wind up being armed.
So Bill Ruggiero, again, senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and the editor of their publication, The Long War Journal. What's your understanding about what U.S. drone activity is taking place over Syria? I've heard reports that U.S. drones have been monitoring human rights abuses for potential trial of the Assads, if indeed they don't end up going down in flames with the whole country, frankly.
I've heard rumors. Again, it's always difficult to know how true this is, and it's quite possible that that U.S. drones could be mistaken, and instead they may actually be Israeli as well, and it's possible they're being launched from Turkey as well by the U.S. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. Again, the drones have a bevy of roles, and intelligence gathering is one of the biggest roles for them. The Syrian Air Force would have the capability to shoot them down. Honestly, drones are not a very sophisticated airframe. They don't fly very fast. They hover over long periods of time just because of that. And, you could shoot down a drone with a World War II aircraft. So if the Syrians detected one, I'm sure they'd be more than happy to shoot it down. But they may actually be having their own problems to deal with the Free Syrian Army and groups like the Al-Nusra Front and others who are an Al-Qaeda, which is an Al-Qaeda affiliate, and other Islamist groups and rebel groups that are operating there.
So let's turn, Bill Ruggiero, to, as you know, in the hearings today for John Brennan to be the next head of the Central Intelligence Agency, they had to postpone the hearings because of interruptions. And there's no question that the issue of drones elicits a lot of passions. People find the idea of this ability to assassinate people from a long distance without any fingerprints and without any attribution extremely troubling, and there's a concern that there may be blowback in the future. What is your understanding of the ratio between the targeted killings and the collateral damage?
Yeah, in Pakistan, the numbers, according to my numbers, and I want to be very clear, it's extremely difficult to determine when civilians are killed and when the enemy is killed. I'm basing my reporting on press reports from both Pakistani sources, which I feel have the most incentive to keep those numbers realistic, as well as the foreign news agencies, which I think take great care in their reporting. In Pakistan, it seems to be around 10%. I wouldn't be surprised if that number was 20 or 30%. The reality is having a civilian-free conflict in a war is nearly impossible, particularly when you're conducting an air campaign. The reality is that the reason we don't know is because this is indeed enemy-controlled territory. So you can't just go in there and conduct a bomb assessment of what happened. But from what I'm looking at and from seeing even how the Taliban and how Al-Qaeda and other groups, when they do issue statements on these raids, they do often seem to match the press accounts that I'm reading. And there are some very high-level Al-Qaeda leaders that are killed during these raids. Al-Qaeda just announced today that this one operative who was phone conversations taped by the Italian intelligence was conducting operations for more than 20 years, probably had knowledge of the 9/11 attacks, he was involved in the Luxor massacre in Egypt in 1997, traveled through multiple theaters, and then we know we've killed some of Al-Qaeda's senior-most leaders in these strikes, and often killed with those individuals are either their families who are being put in harm's way by those leaders, or their associates, their bodyguards, their lieutenants, their aides, things of that nature. So a lot, and then there are instances where there are civilians killed, and often does come out in the press reporting. But I think when you look at this historically, the number of civilian casualties are low. It's not a zero-sum game that's being played here. it's not a game at all, obviously, but it's there's just no zero-sum outcome. You can't just kill bad guys or just kill civilians when you're conducting any type of military operations, especially with an enemy that is mixing itself within the civilian population. Not only does it live in Pakistan's tribal areas, it also rules a lot of them, which puts them automatically in the midst of the people.
So from your point of view, Bill Roger, there are two questions. One is, what's your understanding of the outrage and indignation that's felt by a lot of American citizens, many of whom demonstrated today in the U.S. Senate, and the reports that you get on the receiving end that these attacks may do more harm than good in as much as they make the people in that area, in, say, Fatah or on the border, they feel so helpless and humiliated by this unseen power that it's more likely to recruit more al-Qaeda than it is in terms of killing off their leadership?
Yeah, you know, as far as the recruiting for the enemy goes, I there's no doubt that the drones are a tool used in recruitment. However, there's indications, and you see this in polling and press reports, that there's a lot of Pakistanis living in the tribal area who are living under the boot of al-Qaeda and the Taliban that actually support these strikes, too. You'll see them often quoted in news articles. A lot of times when they're Pakistani minders that are ushering reporters around, when they get them aside, they'll say, you know, more of these strikes. Now, that being said, given that the Taliban rule these areas, it's easy for them to recruit and it's easy for them to dominate the narrative. One of the problems I do have with the drone program is I think it is definitely being overused. And what the administration is doing is it's substituting a tactic, which is the drones, and using them to target senior and mid-level leadership and fighters in terrorist groups. It's using that tactic as its strategy, and the strategy has to deal with the three core, in my opinion, are the three core issues: state sponsorship of terrorism, which Pakistan is one of them, the al-Qaeda and terrorist groups' ability to dominate in ungoverned areas and operate successfully in ungoverned areas. Mali's just being the latest example of that. And the radical ideology that is being spread. And we have no strategy to deal with any of those issues. So instead, what we're doing now is what the Bush administration was roundly criticized in the media and by people on the left side of the aisle for doing back in 2002, 2003, and 2004. So the Obama administration is basically is replaying from the Bush playbook, and really isn't having much pushback on it. The drones are a nice way to show results. Look, we killed a senior leader. Here he is. But the reality is that, again, they control territory. They have a deep recruiting base. And until we address those issues, and they're being sponsored by states, until we really address those issues, we can be conducting drone strikes all year round. And the other issue I have, by the way, with the drones is they're really only targeted in a small, very small area in North and South Waziristan. More than 95% of the strikes occur there. The reality is that al-Qaeda is pervasive throughout all of Pakistan. Look at where we killed Osama bin Laden, where we captured Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and a whole host of other al-Qaeda leaders. It was all outside of the tribal areas in major Pakistani cities where they have support. This would be like me coming up with a plan to destroy the Ku Klux Klan, and I'd say, and we're going to do this by going into two counties in Alabama and dismantling the organization there, and therefore the Ku Klux Klan won't exist in the United States anymore. That is essentially our strategy.
Well, but my understanding is that this strategy is really in part to do with the backlash and the blowback from the boots-on-the-ground strategy, which was the Bush strategy, putting a huge army into an Islamic land, Iraq, and clearly the only winners so far of the Iraq war have been the Iranians, and the same in Afghanistan, and that this is why our policymakers find the drones attractive, because it's the opposite of boots on the ground.
Well, I think they find them, that is correct, but that doesn't mean it's a winning strategy either. They're attractive for several reasons. For the reason you just mentioned, if you don't want to get your hands dirty and invade another country or deny the enemy the space to operate in, that's one reason. It doesn't endanger American lives. And also, you have the issue that I discussed earlier, which is you could show easy results. I want to be real clear, too. I think there's a certain fetidization of the drones themselves. I mean, whether, you know, people worry, oh, well, the remote killing, and the reality is if you're not sticking a knife in someone or strangling them with your bare hands, it's all remote killing. If I'm looking through a sight through a rifle at 200 yards and I shoot someone, I've killed them remotely. If I'm flying an aircraft at 20,000 feet and push a button to drop a bomb, I've killed them remotely. If I'm flying a drone and piloting 7,000 miles away, I also am killing them remotely. So people get really caught up in this technology and in this. And, you know, the reality is we used something else. We used cruise missiles. And we have all kinds of, you know, ground-launched, long-range cruise missiles, and cruise missiles can be launched from ships and airplanes. The drones are really very little difference between, you know, the two technologies. It's just the next, next iteration of technology. But it's, I think there's a lot of emphasis put on the drones themselves and not the actual policies and the strategy and the tactics that we're employing to use them.
Well, just in closing, Bill Ruggiero, you're a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, and I just looked at the website, and there's some fairly prominent neoconservatives in your organization, and there's no secret that they opposed the nomination of Chuck Hagel to be the next Secretary of Defense. What is the position that your organization's taken on John Brennan?
First, I wouldn't define us as a neoconservative. I certainly don't consider myself one. I can't speak for Foundation for Defense of Democracy's stand on Chuck Hagel. Honestly, I'm not tracking it that closely. I can only tell you my personal opinion. I don't believe he would make a very good Secretary of Defense. Some of the statements he's made with Iran or agreement with drawing down the military are things that I fundamentally disagree with. And, you know, I could make the same argument, but I base it on the individual and not on a political party.
But he's been, if anybody has been the champion of the drone program, it's him.
Well, you're referring to John Brennan there.
Yes, it is
John Brennan. And John Brennan has championed the drone program, but he's also, in my opinion, mischaracterized the intelligence used to attack al-Qaeda. For instance, in November 2011, he was basically telling everyone, well, there's just two senior al-Qaeda leaders left and the organization will collapse. We killed one of them in a drone strike, and the other one, I mean, al-Zawahiri, is still around. And guess what? Al-Qaeda is taking over a country in Mali. It's spread its insurgency into Syria. It's resurgent in Iraq. And it still has a leadership cadre inside of Afghanistan and conducts operations, in Pakistan, and conducts operations in Afghanistan. And I've just scratched the surface on the theaters that they're involved in. So that would be why I oppose Brennan for taking the tactic of drone strikes and using them as a strategy, as well as mischaracterizing the nature of al-Qaeda and its potency.
Well, Bill Ruggiero, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Bill Ruggiero, who's a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and the editor of their publication, The Long War Journal, which provides original reporting and analysis of the global war on terror. Coverage includes strategic and operational issues relating to the war in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Somalia, and Lebanon, as well as al-Qaeda's operations, tactics, and strategy. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back getting an update on the economy and whether or not the Congress should take a Hippocratic oath in regard to the economy.